Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Hundreds dead in an Afghanistan earthquake, plus a strong U.S. dollar drives companies to review their hedging strategies.
So for the likes of Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Salesforce that have a significant chunk of their earnings coming from overseas, a strong dollar makes these earnings less valuable.
And promising news for those trying to lose weight. It's Wednesday, June 22nd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. At least 920 people were killed in an earthquake that struck eastern Afghanistan early Wednesday, officials said. According to a disaster management official, an additional 600 people were injured in the earthquake. The office of the deputy prime minister of the Taliban regime that took over last year asked foreign aid agencies for help. Officials warned that the casualty number could increase. The U.S. Senate has begun debate on a bipartisan bill intended to curb gun violence in what would represent the first major federal change to gun laws in decades. Among other provisions, the bill would help states fund and enforce red flag laws to remove firearms from people deemed dangerous to themselves or others. Lawmakers who worked on the bill say they hope to have it pass the Senate before the chamber breaks next week for a 2-week recess. Yesterday, the House panel investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol held its fourth hearing and detailed the pressure that former President Donald Trump applied to state election officials in an effort to overturn the 2020 election. In video testimony, Georgia election worker Ruby Freeman said that she went into hiding for a time after Trump singled her out with an unproven claim that she defrauded voters.
There is nowhere I feel safe. Nowhere. Do you know how it feels to have the President of the United States to target you?
WSJ reporter Scott Patterson is covering the hearings.
This is the committee giving the American public evidence of the emotional, personal effect that the allegations of voter fraud has had on some of these people. And they were directly targeted and harassed after Mr. Trump and his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, named them in allegations of voter fraud. And so they were specifically targeted.
Trump has denied any wrongdoing connected to the Capitol riot. The committee's next hearing is scheduled for Thursday. The Biden administration has unveiled a plan to mandate the elimination of nearly all nicotine in cigarettes, a policy that, if implemented in the coming years, could upend the $95 billion U.S. cigarette industry and, health officials say, prompt millions of people to quit smoking. Reynolds American and Altria Group, the largest U.S. cigarette makers, said Tuesday that encouraging smokers to switch to less harmful options was a better approach to improving public health than reducing nicotine in cigarettes. And President Biden is planning to call for a 3-month suspension of federal gasoline and diesel taxes, according to senior administration officials, with the announcement expected later today. Lawmakers of both parties have expressed resistance to suspending the tax, a move that would likely need bipartisan support to become law. American companies are reviewing their hedging strategies as a strong U.S. dollar dents the value of their overseas earnings. WSJ CFO Journal Bureau Chief Nina Trentmann joins us now to discuss what companies and executives are doing in response as they seek additional protection. Hi, Nina. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So what issues is a strong U.S. dollar causing for some of the companies we're talking about here? And tell us which companies these are.
It's basically a wide range of U.S. companies, very big ones in the S&P 500, specifically those that have overseas business. So, for example, the likes of Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Salesforce, you name it. It's very much large US businesses that have a significant chunk of their earnings coming from overseas, which is basically the problem, given that a strong dollar makes some of these earnings and revenues from overseas less valuable. We've seen that the dollar has risen against a basket of currencies. The WSJ dollar index, for example, sees it up over 12% against other 16 currencies, which is causing this problem for companies.
And how are they responding?
So there's two things that companies can do. One is hedging, which is sort of trying to basically lock in an exchange rate today, which will in a year from now allow you to exchange your foreign earnings into a certain dollar amount. The other one is, if you're realizing as a company that your earnings from overseas will be lower, your products will not necessarily be as competitive as those of foreign competitors, which means that you as a company could also go ahead and say, I might also want to reduce my costs. So one thing is the currency translation part, and the other one is more the operational side. And on the operational side, we've actually also seen some companies thinking about making changes to their contracts with suppliers and with customers, which of course is also depending on your counterparty being willing to do that.
And Nina, can smaller companies do any of that as easily?
Well, it's certainly the case that smaller businesses oftentimes don't have the same bargaining power as big businesses, which means that it depends very much on the individual situation, whether they'd be able to enforce any changes in contracts with suppliers and customers, or if they would actually be able to bring down costs, or also if they would have a hedging program in place. So where I've heard from foreign exchange advisors for this story telling me, oh yeah, we've found quite a few people who didn't have anything in place and who are now scrambling to respond to the situation in the foreign exchange market. So it's depending also very much on what type of business you are, the size of the business, and it's certainly something that can hit smaller businesses way more badly than the big S&P 500 companies that we often talk about.
That was Wall Street Journal CFO Journal Bureau Chief Nina Trentmann. Nina, thank you for the update.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll hear from pharmaceuticals reporter Peter Loftus about a promising development in efforts to treat weight loss. We've got that story after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Drug makers have found new tools to help overweight and obese people shed the pounds, and it involves drugs normally used to treat diabetes that have been found to help with weight loss. Some of these drugs are currently undergoing testing, while others are already on the market. WSJ reporter Peter Loftus covers healthcare and pharmaceuticals for us, and he's been tracking this story. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being with us. So explain for us, if you could, how these what are known as dual-purpose drugs actually function.
Sure. Well, these dual-purpose drugs, they stimulate a natural hormone that is found in the gut in everybody. And by doing this, this in turn has several effects. And so for the purposes of weight loss, by stimulating this hormone, that has the effect of suppressing appetite and making someone feel full after eating.
And does someone need to continue to be taking these drugs for the weight to actually come off, or is this sort of a one-and-done type of treatment?
I think the jury is still out on that. I think that some of the studies have shown that yes, people do need to continue taking the drug, that the weight loss happens while they're on the drug, and there's some evidence that if they stop taking it, they might start to put the pounds back on.
And how do these drugs compare to what has been on the market in the past?
Yeah, I mean, there have been different approaches to weight loss drugs over the years, and they have had issues. For instance, in the 1990s, people might remember that there was a popular combination diet drug called Fen-Phen, and it was later found that one of the components of that drug was causing heart valve-related problems in people, and it was a pretty serious safety concern. And so over the years, there have been other attempts at finding different types of drugs that can safely induce weight loss. But generally, they've often either had certain safety issues or the efficacy has been somewhat modest in terms of the actual weight loss produced hasn't always been that much.
And what is the weight loss that is being triggered by these dual-purpose drugs? And what, if any, side effects have been reported about them?
Well, one of the newer studies that has generated some attention is a drug called tirzepatide from Eli Lilly. And they found that people who took that drug for nearly 18 months lost up to 22.5% of their body weight. And so in overweight people and people with obesity, that can add up to a lot of pounds. As far as side effects, these types of drugs, they can have gastrointestinal type side effects, diarrhea, other things. But doctors generally say that the worst of that would happen during the early days of treatment as they're kind of finding the right dose for the patient, and that often those unpleasant side effects would subside.
And Peter, how much do these drugs cost, and are they covered by insurance?
Well, there's a drug from Novo Nordisk that came on the market last year called Wegovy, and that costs about $1,300 a month per patient. And so that's been an issue because insurance coverage of that drug in the U.S. and other weight loss drugs, I should say, hasn't been great. And there's a couple reasons. One is for people over 65 in the U.S., they're all eligible, but many are covered by the Medicare Part D benefit, the drug benefit. And that benefit, by law, does not cover weight loss drugs. And then as far as private insurance, commercial insurance that people have through their jobs, I think insurers are increasingly seeing the value of this drug and making it part of their formularies, their sort of list of preferred drugs that would have some type of coverage. But employers are still a little bit behind, and employers are the ones who sponsor most of these or many of these health plans. And so there's still limited private insurance coverage too. And so the bottom line is that for some people, if they're candidates for that drug, they might have trouble affording it if it's $1,300 a month and they either have to pay all of it or a big portion of it.
And just stepping back, what is the trend for dual-purpose drugs in the pharma industry? Are we going to continue to see more and more of them?
Well, yeah, I think there's an interesting sort of both business and medical case for them in the sense that there's long been this talk in the pharma industry of something that they call a pipeline in a pill. Obviously, not all these drugs are pills. Some are injected. But what they mean is this: using the same drug to treat multiple diseases. And so the science has to bear that out. They actually have to prove that in clinical trials that a drug that works for diabetes might also work for weight loss. It happens in cancer where one drug is found to treat multiple different tumor types. And in a lot of these anti-inflammatory conditions, you'll see the same drug can treat things like rheumatoid arthritis or Crohn's disease or colitis. And so there's some track record of its safety or just a knowledge of how safe it is. And so if it then works for additional diseases, that's a good thing. And then from an industry perspective, that means more sales. And so their initial investment in a drug can kind of pay off over time if they find more diseases that it can treat.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Peter Loftus. Peter, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
And finally, can technology fix the hell that is the hybrid meeting? You know, those video calls in which someone is always accidentally unmuted, or with those zoomed out and impersonal views of people sitting around a conference table. WSJ senior personal technology columnist Joanna Stern says a number of big tech companies like Microsoft, Zoom, and Google hope they can eliminate some of those issues.
One of the features that most of them support is this idea that the camera can actually isolate the person speaking in the room. So instead of that top-down view of the room, you actually are able to zoom in or crop in on the person that's talking. Google and Microsoft have also made what they're calling companion modes. So if you're in a conference room, you bring your own laptop, you log into the meeting, it automatically mutes your mic, it mutes your speakers because You can have that sort of disastrous echo, and you are seeing the people right there on your table in front of you, and they might see you if you turn on your webcam.
And that is What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.